This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Salaam, Britain. And now it's time for reflections with Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim. And we're going to be talking about the journey with the Quran.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Yahya, how are you?
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you for having me once again on Salaam, Britain.
For joining us, Sheikh. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, alhamdulillah.
Sheikh, we're going to continue with Journey with the Quran, so please enlighten us further.
Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ba'd. We've been traveling from the beginning of the Quran. We kind of looked at Surah Al-Fatiha and the opening verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. We've kind of understood that the message of Surah Al-Baqarah is that mankind is in need of guidance. And that guidance that we all ask our Almighty Allah for, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, will come in the form of revelation. It is a communication that is sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This final testament of the Quran therefore becomes something that is precious and important for us, not just to read, but to put into practice. And one of the first lessons that we've learned in Surah Al-Baqarah is that there were nations who came before us who received the message but did not want to practice. They became from those who are al-maghdubi alayhim, the ones we ask Allah to protect us from being like them, those who angered God. And the others are ad-dallin, those who know that there is a message, but turn a blind eye to it, deaf ears to it, unwilling to engage with something that would give them relief and comfort if they would just open their minds and their attitudes and their heart towards what was sent, even though it may contradict their base carnal desires. Therefore, the Quran becomes this compass, this path, this map that you and I are meant to navigate and use. It's not meant to be something that we read and cast aside or carry upon our backs or memorize in our hearts and have no attempt at putting it into practice. So Allah gives us the example early on in the surah of the children of Israel, the children of Prophet Yaqub. One of the names of Yaqub alayhi salam that Allah gives him in the Quran is Israel. Israel comes from two important words. Isra means to travel by night, and il comes from Elohim, one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Semitic languages. You can kind of hear this in other names that are found within our tradition. Jibra'il or Gabriel or Jibril, meaning the one who was given Jabarut or strength by Elohim, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ismail, the son of Ibrahim, is the one who sami'a from Elohim, the one who heard the commands of God and was obedient to them. Israel is Yaqub, who was commanded to travel at night to flee for the protection of himself, his faith, his family, and his tradition. And thereafter, his 12 sons, they became the children of Israel. Bani Israel are one of the most celebrated people in our scriptures and in the previous scriptures that were revealed. They are those who had a great covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if they maintained the faith, they would be honored above all the other men and women of humanity. And subhanAllah, as time goes by, sometimes people begin to lose the practice of what it is that they have been taught. So one of the examples that Allah gives us is from the era of Moses, Musa alayhi salam. Musa, in his camp, after they've crossed out of Egypt, there was a murder, the first murder that occurred amongst his people. There they are for 40 years wandering the desert. Allah is teaching them the importance of patience and servitude and worship of Allah, that the thing that you seek at the end, the glory of entering into the pleasure of Allah and the kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, must be worked for. And the first murder occurs amongst the camps of the people at night. When everybody wakes up, they rush to the Prophet of Allah, Musa alayhi salam, and ask him, you communicate with God directly, tell us, ask Allah to tell us, to notify you, who is this murderer amongst us so that we can hold them accountable and punish them. When Musa asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah simply answers, say to your people, اذبحوا بقرة, slaughter a cow. Now, if they just simply complied, any cow, any shape, male or female, old or young, any cow, the answer would have been given. Allah wanted them to make this sacrifice as an atonement, and then that the sharing of it amongst the poor would be reason for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see that there was taqwa in their heart and a softness in their heart towards the weakest amongst them. When they contradicted the word of Musa, قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزْوَى, are you making fun of us? We asked you to ask God a simple question. Why are you coming back with this response? قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ, I seek refuge from God, the Lord Allah Almighty, from being amongst those who are jahil, ignorant, unwilling to follow a simple instruction. So when they deviated from the simple instruction, Allah made the conditions harder. And we find that symmetry as a parable in our life, that if you don't follow the simplest rules of Islam, the harder rules then become and of greater effect and will find themselves, you will find yourself in recourse to them. If you simply did the simple things that Allah asks, to wake up before the sun rises and make your ablutions and stand before Him in prayer, if you stood and walked in the path of Allah, life will keep simple. But if you make it difficult, the life that you wanted simplicity becomes harder because you didn't follow the simple guidelines that would make your path easier in life. So they began to ask, what color is it? What shape is it? Who owns it? Is it a free animal or roaming in the countryside? Eventually, they identify one that Allah made difficult for them to find. That is the inner story of Surah Al-Baqarah. Before we talk about whether they found out who the person was that murdered the man or not, what is the story of this cow? Why is it such an important story that the name of the longest chapter of the Quran bears the name the cow? The story is narrated to us in the books of Tafsir. There was a young man who was raised up by an honored, loving father and mother. His father owned nothing in the world but a small estate and a small cow. And as he was feeling the pangs of death soon upon him from illness, he said to his wife, tell my son not to sell this cow without your permission, and that I am going to set it into the countryside, and I make dua to Allah that He is the only one who is able to subdue it, that it won't be overwhelmed or domesticated by anyone other than Him. He feared that if he left it with them, that the people of Bani Israel may take it off them, because they were entering into a little bit of savagery being out into the wilderness. His son was too young to protect it. So he set out this cow out into the wilderness and made a vow to Allah, keep this inheritance for my son, O Allah. Years later, the people of Bani Israel are now looking for a particular cow. And this young man who is now domesticated this cow, his mother says to him, we're in need of money. Take it to the market and see what price it will fetch, but sell it to no one. As he arrives there, people say, we want to buy this cow. This is the cow we've been looking for. He said, I'm forbidden from disobeying my mother. They said, we'll give you this amount and this amount and this amount, exorbitant amounts of gold for the cow. All of it he refuses in obedience to the command of his mother. Finally, he returns home and he said, Mom, they have offered me so much money, but because of my oath to you and your order to me, I refuse to sell it. And she made dua for him that may Allah increase him in khayr. Finally, in the next morning, Musa alayhi salam comes and says to this young man, we've been commanded by Allah to find this particular cow. What is its story? So the mother says that this was declared by his father as a way of giving him an inheritance that he couldn't protect for him, and that Allah would protect it and grow it for him. So Musa alayhi salam said, we will offer you the weight of this cow from the gold that we brought from us from the people of Egypt. Subhanallah. The story of Surah Al-Baqarah is about obedience to Allah, but it's also about the second most important people that we should have in our life. That our parents at times, even when it seems that their advice is not always telling, that there is barakah in navigating life with the understanding that if we are kind and generous and loving and obedient to our kith and kin and parents where they are entitled to have a say, not when they are not entitled or when they treat with us with a toxic relationship, but where there is a positivity and something that is obligated to Allah, then only khayr comes from it. The Prophet ﷺ said, طَاعَةِ رِضَ اللَّهِ فِي رِضَ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, that you can see Allah's contentment for you in your life through the contentment your parents have for you. وَخْصَخَتِ اللَّهِ فِي صَخَتِ الْوَالِدَيْنِ, and your parents' discontent is a sign that there is anger for you with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people of Bani Israel take the cow, they slaughter it, and they are then given the order of Allah to touch the body of the deceased with it. And once they strike his body with it, they touch him, he comes back to life and lets them know that it was one of his nephews who took his life, seeking to inherit as being his only heir the rest of his estate. And then he returned back to his death and slumber. It's in this that we find a number of important beneficial lessons that we take. First and foremost, and I limit them just to three due to the shortness of time, that the barakah of your parents and their dua for you increases your rizq. As is narrated by Imam al-Tirmidhi and Imam al-Nisa'i, the Prophet ﷺ said, the one who yarda, who is content for their life to be expanded and the rizq to grow, let them keep the ties of kinship, meaning in particular your mother first and all that is attached to it. Number two, we learn the importance of honoring the commands of Allah with the concept of sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and immediately obey. And number three, that we recognize that Allah does not always give us what we want in the way we want it just because we ask. Even if the one asking is the Prophet of Allah, Musa alayhi salam, that there were conditions that needed to be met. May Allah allow us to meet the conditions of a righteous accepted dua with our penance and repentance and ibadah and honor of Allah Azza wa Jal. And I look forward to journeying with you with the Quran again next week as we meet every Wednesday, inshallah, 11 a.m. London time.
That was, my mind is doing like somersaults right now because I'm just thinking about all of what Sheikh Yahya just spoke to us about. You know, when they say the clue is in the name.
Yes.
I never got that understanding of that story of the cow. You know, obviously, when we read the Quran and we read these stories, there's so many stories. It's the biggest surah in the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah. So, you know, the amount of stories that's in that one surah, you know, there's so many lessons. But that one story, having that, you know, that understanding of it, it's like a light bulb just kind of switched on just then when you just spoke about that, Sheikh, and it's subhanAllah, it kind of just made me think, I need to go home and tell my kids this understanding that I've just kind of, you know, going back to the parenting thing that we were talking about. Yes. You know, it's something that you want to pass on and share and teach, but obviously for me myself, it just made so much sense when you just gave us that understanding of that one story and linking it to the story of the mother and her son and her giving him that command, you know, and that's another part of it now. Encouraging my children, see, this is why you need to listen to your parents. This is why you need to listen to your mother, because this is the truth. This is why we need to listen to the command of Allah.
One of the sad realities in society today is the undermining of the family structure. And one of the greatest assault on humanity, not just on Muslim societies, is that parents become the butt of all jokes, that the parents are not the ones who are cool, parents just don't understand, that the ones who will care for you are, you know, your friends or people you just met, your people you hang out with. And parents are kind of cast aside as being these people who just, they just don't have your interest in heart and mind. And the Quranic paradigm, of course, always brings us back, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهُ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, that you are commanded to worship none other than God and to treat your parents with an exceptional excellence. May Allah make us worthy of that. Ameen.
For me, like, one of the biggest takeaways for me from this, you know, few moments was just to kind of like just obey Allah, make it simple. Because I think, you know, we do complicate things, but actually it's so simple. It's there, and all you need to do is to obey. And the other one is, like the importance of your parents, and like to not over kind of like, you know, like not overlook that you reach a certain age and then that's it.
Yeah. You know? We find ourselves really combative. You know, we're combative with each other, but that's really because we've begun to be combative first with revelation that we know or that we claim to believe is from Allah. So when you're in a state of combat, when you're in a state of alertness and vigilance and, you know, why should I do this? And are you sure? And should it be this way or that way? And we're always over-assessing, over-calculating, over-deliberating on issues that are really simple. And we kind of make complex, especially within the practice of Islam among Muslims, we try to overemphasize things that were not emphasized at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Sometimes there's a hyper-conservatism that you don't find in the tradition of the Prophet ﷺ. Everybody's, you know, hyper-conservative. Or you find a hyper-liberalization that also wasn't found at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And then it brings us back to that verse, which we will study in the coming weeks in Surah Al-Baqarah, جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. I destined you, if you practice faith correctly, to be of the middle course, the radical middle way, which most people avoid unknowingly.
Wow, no, absolutely. And I know we are shortly going to say goodbye to you until the next time, but I just want to say thank you so much. Exactly. I've learned so much within those few minutes that we've been listening, and like, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you reach more, Sheikh, because it's so helpful to hear these.
Jazakumullah khair. I look forward to seeing you next week. I also have Islam Q&A at the top of the hour at noon London time, 8 p.m. here in Perth. I hope you'll join me in about a half an hour, inshallah.
Inshallah. So yeah, the numbers will be on screen when Islamica comes in. So don't miss Sheikh Yahya Ibrahim. We are now off to a commercial break, and we still have much more to come on Salam Britain.
Yeah, Sheikh Zah.